I want to talk to you. Tell me, would you like to chat? I want to talk to you.
Claude Pilkinen here in our studio today. We have two of my favorite people. We got Martin Zender and we got Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill is an author. He's written three books, and we haven't been in the studio today because he has written his latest book. We want to talk about it, and it's called Making the Most of the Bible, Lessons on Understanding God's Word. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about your book. Give us a little brief synopsis of it.
Sure. Thanks, Clyde. Well, the book is pretty much what the title suggests. It's a practical guide on making the most of the Bible. You know, the reason I wrote the book was I realized that a lot of people, they're intimidated by the Bible. They don't want to approach it because it seems to them like it's so far beyond them, beyond their understanding. You know, all the these, thys, and thous of versions like the King James, it just seems like an exercise in futility. And what ends up happening then is people defer to other teachers instead of to God's Word itself. And I think a lot of folks are lost ultimately because of that. So I thought, well, what better to do for this next book than to address this major problem that a lot of people face and give them a practical guide for understanding the Bible?
That's great. You know, this is a Bible Students Radio, and I know folks are listening because they're interested in what the Bible has to say. Now, hopefully they're interested in studying as well, not just listening to the word being taught or reading books about the Bible. So it's important that we do actually get into the scriptures for ourselves.
Right.
And it sounds like, you know, your book's designed to be a guide for that.
Yep, exactly. And a practical guide. And what I mean by practical is, you know, I didn't want for my book to be viewed the way that the Bible is generally viewed, you know, to be beyond the people who read it. So I get into some detailed basic principles, you know, for example, having a dictionary at arm's length when you sit down to study, using a sheet that lists out who, what, where, when, why, you know, all these things we look for in context every time you sit down, and writing in your Bible. You know, there are a lot of people who view that as sacrilege.
Oh boy, I'm in trouble then.
Yeah, you're in big trouble.
I got so much writing in my Bible, sometimes I can't hardly see the words in the text.
And I say in the book, you know, if someone saw my Bible, they'd probably gasp, you know, because it's so cluttered up with writing. But that's a good thing. You know, here's the analogy I like to use. The Bible is like a roadmap of sorts to our destination, which is the truth. You know, and the goal of every believer is to come into as full of a true knowledge as possible about the one true God. If we understand that the Bible, as God's only revelation to us, is the way we do that, then, you know, we want to do everything in our power to make the map more readable, you know, more usable, more user-friendly. Now, if someone handed you a map and said, you know, here's your starting point, point A, and here's your destination, point B, you're going to obviously jot down the route. You're going to write on it. Anything that enables you to better understand it, you're going to do. And this idea that people have, you know, that because the Bible is a holy book, that they can't deface it, you know, they can't write in it, it's really, all it's really doing is putting them in a much worse position to be able to understand it. The Bible's a tool. It's a book with binding and pages. And it's the content of the book that matters, not the binding itself. Not to say that we should just trash our Bibles, you know, we want to make them work, but I would much rather have my Bible that is a little older and tattered, you know, with full of writing, than a brand new pristine one that looks great, but can't help me learn. So, you know, little things like that. It's just a practical guide. And the book opens up with addressing, you know, the problem. Here's the issue we have. You know, the majority of believers are intimidated by the Bible, and they don't know how to study it. They don't know the history of how it came into being in all of our English versions. They can't even understand the English text a lot of the time. They don't take the time to look up English words they come across that they don't already know. And those are big mistakes. Again, back to the map analogy, you know, it's going to lead someone in the wrong direction. They're going to end up at the wrong destination, and then it was for naught. So,
do you recommend a particular version for people when they start off? Can they use the version that's the most familiar to them, or do you recommend they start off with a certain version?
No, yeah, and here, one of the chapters in the book is titled Translation Methods, and I talk about, there are really two basic methods that scholars have typically used when translating. They're formal equivalents, which attempts to translate, you know, word for word from the original text, and dynamic equivalents, which shoots for more of the feeling of the text. Scholars who translate with dynamic equivalents aren't so much after word for word accuracy. They want to convey the feeling that a first century reader would have gotten from it then. I think that clearly the best translations employ the best of both worlds, you know. And the concordant version, of course, most of the listeners who are listening in to this program are going to be well acquainted with it. They're probably using it. It's a great version. The Diaglot, although it only comes in the New Testament, is great. We've been talking lately, the three of us, about the Dvar version, another great one. The problem is some versions, like the Young's literal translation, for example, are formed with such extreme formal equivalence that even the syntax, the arrangement of words in the sentence, aren't altered very much. So for the average reader, it's just near impossible to really understand. So we want to look for a version that has the best of both worlds. You know, that is, doesn't sacrifice word accuracy, but still conveys the feeling, and it's readable. You can understand it. Otherwise, you know, it's really useless then. So those few versions in particular are ones that I recommend. And I say, too, you know, don't use just one translation, one version. You know, have several in your arsenal that you can pull from and study. You know, I'm sure when all three of us are studying the Bible, we don't just use one version exclusively. And there's a reason for that. You know, we might pull out passage we're studying and use the concordant version first because we're after word accuracy. Well, then we might have a difficult time understanding what we're reading, so we go to a paraphrase version, like the Message, for example, because we can really feel the text then. We can get the meaning and the feeling behind it. So,
okay. Well, if you're listening and you have a desire to study the scriptures, maybe you've been making an attempt on your own to study, but you're a little lost as to how to really get in and dig in and get started, this book may be a big help to you, Making the Most of the Bible, Lessons on Understanding God's Word. And perhaps you're a seasoned student of the Scriptures. You study the Bible regularly, but perhaps this book would be good for a friend of yours, someone you know who's just getting started. It not only lays out the basics of tools and so forth, but also gives a sort of a little primer on rightly dividing the word of truth, because that's important when you're studying the scriptures to know where you are in the scriptures and what scriptures apply to you.
Yeah, and it's not a intimidating book. It's short. It's easy to read. It's 100 pages on the nose. I think you can probably read it in an hour, right?
An hour, hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, an hour and a half. Yeah, it depends on how fast you read. But
and you know, back to Clyde's point, he just mentioned rightly dividing. Really, the entire book is all about that one goal. I think the majority of problems that we have in interpreting the text are because we aren't rightly dividing the word of truth. So everything I address in the book, all these different practices, methods, you know, pitfalls to avoid, these all center around that one foundational habit, you know, of rightly dividing. And it's not only those things that I talk about. I'd say the second, you know, half or so of the book is dedicated to these pitfalls that people often find themselves in. For example, a lot of people out there, you know, they use what we call the Ouija board method. You know, instead of studying the text and with any kind of structure or method, they just randomly open to any page, and they justify that approach by saying, well, you know, God is the one who's controlling the page I open to. This is what he wants to speak to me about today. But of course, then they don't have any, they're just kind of willy-nilly going here and there all the time. They don't have any foundation for their study. So a lot of people use what I call the Holy Spirit argument. They say, you know, I don't really need to delve deeply into the text because the Spirit divinely inspires this understanding in me. Well, if you talk to any two of these people side by side, they're never going to give you the same interpretation of the text. So obviously, you know, and these are just ultimately really lazy cop-outs for people to excuse themselves from doing what they view as hard work and just really digging deep into the text.
Yeah, so. And you know, it's not hard work to read this book. I love at the end of every chapter, you have the key takeaways where you have point for point, you list every point from the text. And if somebody wanted to do an abbreviated study of this, they could look at the 12 chapters and just go to the key takeaways at the end of the chapter and read those. Like at the end of chapter 2, you have 12. Now, how many do you have here? You have 8 key takeaways, and it does. It's just a succinct summary of everything you've covered in that chapter, which I think is really helpful.
Yeah.
And again, if this is too much for somebody to read, they can go to the takeaways and they can pretty much get the gist of the book.
Yeah, well, you know, because I even though this book is I think, a lot easier to use, it's more user-friendly than a lot out there on a topic like this, it's still a lot of information, especially when I'm talking about the way the Bible's organized and the history and the way Eastern language, these things are pretty deep. You know, someone's going to have a really hard time with the history section, you know, if they have these key takeaways at the end. And the other thing that is really helpful, one of the main reasons I designed it that way, is so that it can be used in a study type format, you know, in a group. Mm. So if there are groups out there who have, you know, Ecclesias they're part of, a fellowship, and they want to use this book for that, then it's definitely a convenient way for them to do it.
I love your chapter headings. You got one chapter 7 here, Dispensations and the Big Picture.
Yeah.
You know, that's common language. Somebody who wants to know an overview can just go to that chapter and get it. The Bible's History, Chapter 2. Best Practices, Chapter 6. I mean, this thing's really concise. It's really easy to read, and it's a big help.
Yep. That's the whole point. Just, you know, practical, user-friendly guide that's going to really help people.
Yeah, E.W. Bullinger wrote a book, How to Enjoy the Bible. By the way, I think it's a must-read. It's a fabulous book, but it's very detailed. You won't read it in the night. In fact, it may take you, if you're serious about it, might take you a month. But this book right here, Making the Most of the Bible, is simple. It's easy to read. I think it'll be a great help to you if you're already, as I said earlier, enjoying studying the Bible for yourself. It might be a great gift to give to someone else. You can order this right. You can go to the resources link right on Bible Students Radio. Go to Study Shelf and you can order it right there. Or you can call us toll free 1-800-784-6010. It's only $9.95. Mm-hmm. And one evening you can sit down and you'll have this overview.
Yeah. I will say this, though, about the book, because we're making a lot about the fact that it's easy to read, it's easy to understand, but some of the chapters may demand, you know, being reread, especially the chapters on the Bible's history, translation methods, those kinds of things. You know, it's reading through the chapter one time and looking at the key takeaways is, for most people, it's just not going to be enough to really retain all that information. The guideline I always like to use for anything, really, if I'm learning, and what I would pass on, encourage other readers to use as theirs is, you know, do you feel comfortable teaching the material to someone else? I kind of charge the reader in the first chapter of the book. I say, you know, make the most of this book as you learn to make the most of the Bible. And what I mean is, you know, mark in this book, just like I'm advising people to do in their Bibles. You know, mark this up. Take notes. Reread and reread and reread, you know, as many times as they need to till all this sinks in. Because once they get that foundation, they have a general solid understanding of the Bible, how it's been formed, you know, and the way to study it. Then they can go and they can just repeat that method every time they sit down to study. And their study time is going to be a lot more effective and a lot more enjoyable. You know, I say on in the synopsis of the book, the back cover, I think I said, you know, in the few or in the short hour or so it takes you to read through this book, you'll learn lessons that enable you to more effectively study the Bible for the rest of your life, you know. And what better gift could you give yourself or someone else than something that's going to help you to understand God's Word?
Well, Stephen, you're a great encouragement to me because of your love and passion for the Scriptures. That thrills my heart, and I know it does Martin. It's great for us to be here and talk about your book. And once again, if you want it, it's called Making the Most of the Bible by Stephen Hill. You order it at studyshelf.com, 1-800-784-6010.